Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say, love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's Word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
We learned from James chapter 5, call for the elders of the church, let them anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, which I taught you is not a specific kind of prayer. It's not a special prayer. It's not a prayer for elite people, but it is a prayer of faith. And so I want to invite you, loved ones, to open your Bible with me, please, to Mark chapter 5. And as you're turning, let me just pray. Father, I pray for my voice here just to have whatever strength you desire it to have. And I pray that in a different way you would cause this weakness to be strong, and that this powerful message of faith and how it moves you, would you show that to us, and would you use that to inspire deep heart commitments toward a new 40-day season seeking breakthrough in prayer. God, I ask that we would pray as we have never prayed before. I pray that you would, as we were singing, take us to the end of ourselves, take us to the edge of something greater. God, let us be greater prayers, and let greater prayers of faith be answered. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, Mark chapter 5 is a treasured passage of Scripture, one that I have not touched on or even referenced for 16 years in our church. I think my oldest son has preached on a portion of it. I think the first paragraph, verses 1 through 20. This message has one point with three little parts to it, and I want to give you the point. Now, just look up here, loved ones. This isn't how it happens. You don't get your point and then show it in the Bible. I always do it in reverse for you. I get in the Bible and learn the point. Then afterwards, I write it down and frame it. But in order to teach it to you, I'm going to give it to you first and then show it to you in the Bible. But that's not how you study the Bible. You don't write something down and then go looking for it in the text, right? Somebody say, first the text. First. Yeah, first the text. So, but to teach it to you, I want to explain it to you, and then I'm going to show you where I found it long before I could frame it this way. Make a note of this. Faith that acts and asks and endures gets answered. This whole series has been about getting prayers answered and why aren't my prayers answered. And we started off by considering my prayers aren't answered because I'm asking wrongly, because there's unconfessed sin in my life, because I'm not praying persistently. We're trying to check off all of the potential impediments to answered prayer. Now we're at the matter of faith. In fact, if you look at the card that you're given at the very beginning, the first card, I don't know if I have one of the first cards in my Bible. Oh, I do. And here it says, Scripture, pray scripturally, in confidence, in faith, persistence, and then the breakthrough. But we haven't really talked about faith yet, and we are going to, at least this week, maybe more. Did you jot it down? Again, faith that acts and asks and endures gets answered. Now, I want to say a little something about each of those. Faith that acts. If you wrote it down, just write a little arrow below that. We're going to the Lord. Faith that asks, we are kneeling before the Lord. Faith that endures, we are staying before the Lord. If your prayer is a, we are going to the Lord with this, we are kneeling before the Lord about this, we are staying before the Lord about this, that's what I'm talking about. Now, look up here. I mean, really, would you give 5 cents for what I said about prayer? This has to be in the Scriptures. You have to see it in the Scriptures. And I'm going to show it to you right now. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 21. We have two stories here. And the first one is the story of a man named Jairus. His daughter is very ill. Verse 21, and when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea, we would say, at the beach, right? He was right there on the sand. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet. There it is. He acted. So here's a man. How many people, hands up, how many people believe this is a true story, really happened? Okay, I believe this is true as anything in the newspaper today. This is as true as your neighbors. This is as true as where your kids go to school. This really happened. There was this guy. And he had a daughter. I have a daughter. I've often joked that God won't give me any granddaughters because it would be instant idolatry. And maybe someday I'll be mature enough to handle that. But I am telling you, there is something, fathers know it, there's something about a daughter. And your daughter doesn't, my daughter, doesn't matter how old she is, she's still my little girl. And I would do anything for her. I'm a problem waiting to happen. If she's like, will you? I'm already, yes, yes, yes. Ask me more often. And this is his little daughter. Can you let yourself feel what that would have felt like? One of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Now think of all of the reasons this man Jairus could have given for not acting. And by acting, I mean taking my problems to the Lord in prayer. Think of the reasons he could have given. He could have said, I'm a man of position. I'll make an appointment with Jesus. I'll talk to him privately. I don't want to break down and get all emotional in front of other people. He could have been concerned about his dignity. He could have said, God is everywhere. I'll just pray here at home. What's going to happen is going to happen. I don't want to get my hopes up and then be all disappointed. And this keeps people from praying right there. I'm not going to pray myself out on a limb and get disappointed. Now listen to me. The truths of Christianity are not so thin like that you're going to somehow poke your hand through if you ask the wrong question. Don't you think God is up to the challenge of responding to prayers of faith? I can assure you he is. He wants them. He's inviting them. He could have said a lot of things. He could have said, as the text says, that he was a ruler in the synagogue. He could have said, you know, I gotta be strong for other people. He could have said, I've got colleagues in the synagogue who already hate Jesus. I don't want to lose my position. I need to take care of the rest of my family. Now hear this. He acted. He got up. He got dressed. He left his house, he asked around, he located Jesus, he cut through the crowd, he met him on the beach. Notice, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly. But before I can even get to the asking, I have to just say to you, do you act? When something happens in your life that is beyond you, how often have you prayed? And I mean really prayed. And I mean got to, the trials of life are to be taking us to a place in prayer that we've never been to before. And I can say to you, my trials have taken me to places in prayer that I had never been to before. And those are usually the first point of gratitude for anything that God allows is how he has used it in your own life. Before you ever get to the answer, before you ever get to the provision, you get to the gratitude for what he's done in you through it. But you have to act. It seems like a long time ago, but I thought of this when I was preparing this message. For my 40th birthday, I did something I'd always wanted to do. Kathy and I were out in California with some friends, and I went skydiving. And I didn't, you can see there, I wasn't alone. So I didn't do that thing where you have to go to like a big long class and everything. I just did the thing where you got to sign your life away. Like you watch a video, if you are killed or maimed, if you are this or this, do you sign away? Do you swear? Do you quit claim to? Do you, yes. Sign. I was like, I have 50% chance of survival here. I got in a plane, and interesting, you get up in the plane. I had this guy strapped to my back who had 15,000 successful jumps. Supposed to be like the world record at the time. And I thought to myself, man, he's really overdue for a problem. So when I actually got up there in the plane, this is crazy, it's a true story. When I got up in the plane to jump out of the plane, he's strapped to your back. He's like, 1, 2, 3, jump. And I don't remember what happened next, but I think he leaned forward and just kind of pushed me out of the plane. Well, the person who wanted me to do this and who had paid for me to do this, some friend of ours at the time, had also a video guy. So the video guy jumps first, and that's why he had to hurry me out of the plane, because if the video guy's already gone too far down, you know what I'm saying? So I had to catch up to the video guy. So he says, now look at the camera and smile. So you can see that's what I'm doing right there. And so I'm telling you, he said, now when you get to this certain height on your, they show you how to read it on your little, that little, you can't see it in that picture, but right there at the bottom is a little dial thing. It was a fairly technical class I took. And when it gets down to a certain number of feet, you're supposed to pull the ripcord and everything's good, right? So I'm just looking at the camera. I remember going like this. I'm going like this. And I didn't realize it till afterwards, but if you watch it on the video, I should have brought that. He's screaming in my ear, pull the cord, pull the cord. And I'm like, and he's like, pull the cord in the thing. And finally he reaches around, and I felt his hand go bam on my side, and he just ripped the cord out. And I'm telling you, I was gonna go straight 6 inches before the ground, I was gonna be. And you know, now you gotta understand this, I was happy to be turning 40. I got a wonderful wife and family and ministry and church, and I did not want to die. But it is a remarkable thing how sometimes we need to take action. We know the action we need to take, but we get caught up in the moment and we do nothing. And prayer is just like that. I know many of the people into whose faces I'm blessed to be looking right now, and I know that you agree with me about the need to act and say, we are going before the Lord. But what separates us so often from Jairus and the miracle that he's about to experience is, he did it. He actually went to the Lord. Now for us, in 2016, unless you're in the last week of your life, going to the Lord this week is going to mean going to the Lord in prayer. And either you are acting or you are not acting. Many people believe in pulling the cord, but somehow in the fervor of the moment, we're not actually doing it. So, faith acts, and here it is, it asks. Verse 23, and he implored him earnestly. Notice the humility that ends verse 22. What does it say? He didn't even kneel down. What did he do? He fell at his feet. Now, just think of the desperation. I've known you for a long time. If I walked up to you, Ray, I could ask you for something. I wouldn't hesitate. If I needed it, I think you'd give it to me. But if I took your hand and held it like this, or if I pulled you close like this, imagine for a moment, though, if I fell down and hugged your feet. Can you see? Can you see the earnestness and the fervency of this request? His dignity didn't matter. His position didn't matter. Nothing mattered to him but the petition that he was bringing to the Lord. That's faith. This is what faith does. You say, do I have faith? Do I have faith? Faith acts. Faith asks earnestly, fervently, with immense humility. Notice some of the things that he says. My little daughter, please come. She's at the point of death. And notice his confidence. She will get well and live. There's so much in this petition. And he implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And he went with him. Wow, that is amazing. But we're not done yet. Faith that acts and asks. Now this. Faith that endures, or I might have said here, overcomes even. And either one of those I think is fine. Because the text goes on, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge. What? What? What about this guy? What about his daughter? Here's what about. Imagine if you had just got Jesus' attention and fell at his feet and said, my daughter's dying. Come and lay your hands on her. She's going to live. And Jesus is like, yeah, let's do that. And you're headed out, and all of a sudden there's this lady. And he's like, oh, he's over here now. Now, how does the guy feel that had Jesus by the hand and was, how does he feel? Tell me. This is not awesome right now. And I'm going to come back to that story and look at it in just a minute. But I want you to jump down to verse 35. He has the conversation with the woman. We're going to go back and look at that, so we don't need to go over it now. But pick up the story of Jairus again in verse 35. While he, Jesus, was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house, that's Jairus, someone who said, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Now what? You know, I don't know how far they were from the house, but dang, man, she's had her problem for 12 years. My daughter's like 10. I think the daughter was 12 too, interesting, but he's like, come on. And we can come back to her. She's been like this for a long time. He could have thought a lot of things, but overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. I could preach on that for the rest of the night. You know, when it looks as bad as it can possibly look, would you let Jesus say to you, do not fear, only believe? Now, I'm here to tell you, because I love our church, there's more people than you might imagine for whom that is the whole reason you came to church this weekend. So that Jesus Christ could speak into your situation that you think is beyond hope, can never change, absolutely has no chance of being different in any way. Have no fear, only believe. Landon and I were driving into church earlier today, and we were coming around the exit ramp off of 90 onto 53 to come north. And there on the ramp, running down the inside, I'm driving along, Landon sitting beside me, right there coming down the ramp, is a young African-American woman sobbing and stumbling forward like this, and sobbing, she's running down, it was raining. Well, there is no way in the universe that I can see that and not stop. Am I right? I mean, who would do that? I wouldn't. I couldn't. I had to get here. I said to Landon, come on, we're stopping. He looked at me like, are you losing your mind? Like, we have to get to church. But he knew. as well as I did. He jumped out of the car and he went back and got her and brought her up and put her in the car, and we drove her over here to the church. And I mean, this girl had nothing. She's not from Chicago. She's not from Illinois. She just had a huge argument with her husband. I called him on the phone. He said, "I'm not married," and hung up. He was down on the freeway. We could see him down there. I came into my study. Landon and some of the other pastors here tried to help her. It just heightened afresh my awareness of what total desperation looks like. Like, so badly in need and couldn't cobble together any way of getting a solution. And while you may, or I may, or we may, some of us, look a little, appear a little, feel as though we're a little more together than that, are we really? Would the Lord say so? Does he feel that your comfortable life is a great addition to what he's doing, or is it in some ways an obstacle to what he really wants to do? Do not fear, only believe. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John and the brother of James. He came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. Jesus saw a commotion. People were weeping and wailing loudly. This was very much part of the culture. They actually hired mourners. And if there wasn't screaming and wailing in the house, they felt like it wasn't a proper wake. And that was just cultural. And you'll see how cultural it was, because even though there was weeping and wailing loudly, verse 38, verse 39, and when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." Verse 40, and they, next word, say it. They, thank you for looking at your Bibles. They laughed. So a lot of faith there in those people. Come on, vote. Faith. A lot of faith, not so much faith, nothing, right? Like, who are you? We're the professional mourners. We do this every day. They never get up. Right? They're like, who is this guy? Notice he put them all outside. I love that. Jesus is not weak. I don't know. How do you get him out? Get out. Maybe he just had a look. How many people believe Jesus had a look? Put them all outside. Took the child's father and mother. This is so interesting. Parents who are burdened for children, please hear me. He took the father and mother. He knows the weight and the pain that we carry for our children. And this dead girl laying there, he gets the mom, he gets the dad. Now watch this. And those who were with him and went in where the child was. It's so awesome. Now before I move on, let me just say, he had several chances, Jairus, to get off this faith train. He had the delay with the woman. He had the news that the daughter died. He had the mourners laughing at them. Hands up if you agree, from the Bible, he had reasons to get off this. Who agrees? All right? So that's why I'm pulling this out of the text. Faith. What does faith? Do I have faith? Am I praying in faith? Faith acts. Let's go to the Lord with this. Faith asks. So specific, so earnest, so pleading. And then faith, it's always this. It endures, or it overcomes the thing. And then when it does, in God's timing, it gets answered. It gets answered. Notice in verse 41, taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Can you hear the relentless tenderness of Jesus in those words? he who has power over life and death itself. Little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately, the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. Now, how long had she been sick? We don't know. Was it a year? Was it 2 years? Was it 3 years? They waited all that time. How long since he made the plan to go to Jesus? We don't know. Was that he'd been ministering already for some time? Was it 3 weeks? Was it 3 months? Was it 13 months? Then how long from the time that he met Jesus on the beach till they're here actually seeing their daughter raised? This didn't happen in 10 minutes. When you look at the sequence of all of it, it seems like, well, man, if I could just pray, but he didn't just pray. He acted and he asked and he endured. All of that happened before the answer. Do you see? They were immediately overcome with amazement. Yeah, they were. And he charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Jesus had so much teaching to do. If everyone found out that he could raise the dead, that was going to turn into a full-time job pretty fast. So his point was made. Make a note of this. Answered. You say, James, answered. It gets answered. What do you mean by answered? Let's be really clear. Answered means God will show up in the midst of your circumstance and make his presence known. I don't believe for a moment that your first verbalization of request is going to happen exactly like that. I don't believe that. I believe that God will change the prayer. I believe that God will change the prayer. I believe that God will show up powerfully. And I believe that God will hear and answer according to his will. Now, this isn't just in the Bible once. This is in almost every miraculous Bible story, but I'm going to show it to you again in this chapter, and then we're going to pray. Y'all with me? Isn't it great to be in God's Word together? Come on. So let's go back to this lady that almost put Jairus in the ditch. And he went with him, verse 24, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. There was a woman who had a discharge of blood. We're not sure exactly what this was, some sort of internal bleeding. The scripture is choosing careful non-medical terms. We're not supposed to know the precise nature. We know that it left her weak, vulnerable certainly to other sicknesses, as any extensive ongoing bleeding would do. It'd been going on for 12 years. Interesting. Same length of time as the other miracle. There was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians. It's not wrong to go to the doctors. Some crazy, crazy, crazy cultic Christians teach that it's wrong to go to the doctor. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not wrong to go to the doctor. Okay, it's not wrong to go to the doctor. It's not wrong to take medicine. You got to do as you believe the Lord leads you. It's not wrong to fly to Mexico at the last minute and try to save your life. I'm not saying any of that is wrong, and I don't judge anyone for anything they do medically. Not at all. What's wrong is to act in a way that you believe that your length of days is somehow in yours or the doctor's hands, and it is not. Lots of people run marathons and fall dead at the age of 40, and lots of people seem to abuse their health and live for a long time. I think we would all agree that healthy practices are better practices, and statistics say that they are. And if our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, then those things have to be taken seriously. This woman was very, very frustrated. She had actually suffered under many physicians. Not only that, she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather she grew worse. Sadly, that's not uncommon in our day. And I know that there are many, many, many ways that people experience healing. I really believe that. I believe that there are organic things that people do that help them, and I believe that there are medical things that people do that help them. And I believe that there are spiritual things that people do that help them. And I think each needs to be fully persuaded in their own mind. But above all, we need to act. Now, notice here in the text how interesting. She was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Have the people on your street heard the reports about Jesus? Have the people where you work heard the reports about Jesus? She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd. So there's her acting. There's her acting. And interesting, she doesn't even ask. Her asking is that she touched his garment. She acts and she asks. It's so awesome. It's interesting that she has been, anybody who's lived with chronic pain for some extended period of time, and mine is quite minimal compared to some in our church. I know I've lived for many, 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 many years with chronic pain, and it's such a difficult thing, and we begin to wonder, where is God in that? In regards to prayer, please note this. Both of these people seem to have had extended illnesses. Delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. We pray God's will, God's way, in God's time. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Next phrase. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why didn't I think to pray that? I had hardly ever prayed that in my whole life. Now I pray it all the time. Just pray God's will. Whatever you're praying, even Jesus in the garden, and we'll study this in the weeks to come, even Jesus in the garden prayed, not my will, but your will be done. Add this to your prayer list. Everyone should have this on their breakthrough prayer list. Pray the will of God. Your will be done, God. Your will be done in my daughter. Your will be done in my son. Your will be done in my business. Your will be done in this church. Your will be done, God. God, let your will be done. Let me be part of your will. Let me help make it happen. Let me see it happen. Let me know that it's happening. And let me rest in that, God. All of that. Pray God's will. Put that quote up again, please. Pray God's will. Delay is not denial. You haven't been told no. You haven't been told no. Delay is not denial. Pray God's will. Pray that it would happen in God's way. And pray that it would happen in God's time. Not what? Not my time. God, I know this is a big world. I know you're doing a lot. First, do what you're going to do in me. First and foremost, God, how dare I pray for the advancement of your purposes in the lives of someone else or another circumstance and not think that your first work, God, is the work that you're doing in me and the work that you're doing in me in prayer, God. Just that. So pray God's will. She acts, she asks, she asks. Verse 28. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I'll be made well. Isn't that awesome? How'd she know this? How did she know this? Faith. If she just touched his garments, we say that, have been saying here for years, that faith is believing the word of God and acting upon it, no matter how I feel, because God promises a good result. But you have to have faith. You have to believe the word of God and act upon it. Set aside what you feel about it. And you have to believe that God promises a good result. If you're looking at the thing on your breakthrough prayer list and you're like, meh, probably not going to ever change, but I suppose I could pray. Don't bother. Don't bother. You don't believe that God is good? You don't believe that God knows how to give good gifts to his children? You have not because you ask not. Or you ask wrongly. Let your circumstance get you praying differently before you expect to see a different outcome. How many of y'all ever been to the circus? Ever been to the circus? Who's been to the circus? You ever been to the circus? One of my friends who travels with me calls me the circus. That's a different sermon. One of the things that's cool at the circus, have you ever noticed this? They got that big old elephant there, right? Have you ever seen the elephant? And then they got the elephant there, and then they got this little teeny line going down from him. He's under this big tent. They got this little line going down, they got this little peg in the ground. What? How is that possible? He could rip the whole tent apart. He could ram right through the grandstands and dump everybody on their side. How's that little peg holding him? Because it always has. Ever since he was a little small elephant, that's the only thing that was necessary to keep him. And a long time ago, he stopped trying to pull it out and doesn't know that he could. And we pray like that. Sometime a long time ago, when you knew God's word less and you weren't as desperate as you are now, you kind of set your expectation right here in the matter of prayer. And now that little peg, that little expectation, holds you right there in that place. And it doesn't need to. And in God, you have the power to rip that thing out of the ground like nothing. But we don't do it because we've been held by this little peg of doubt for so long. So faith that acts, we're going to the Lord, and asks, we're kneeling before the Lord, and endures, we're right at the end now, it endures. And what did she have to endure? Well, imagine this. She said, if I touch even his garments, I'll be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Bam! And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" How's that for a moment? Who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, I love this part. You see the crowd pressing around you and you say, "Who touched me?" Like, I'm going to say I would not talk to Jesus like that, personally. I just don't see myself saying that to him. But they're like, "We're all getting touched. What do you think? You're not going to get touched? We're all getting touched. People are touching me right now. People are touching you. What's the matter with you? Lord." And he looked around to see who had done it. So, if you were the woman, what would you do right there? Ladies? Right? You'd be like, "I'm healed." Right? Right? Like, "I am so out of here." Right? But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. That's so awesome. And look at our tender Lord again. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Apparently the relief that she felt was not entire, because the healing is not pronounced, the answer is not given until she endures or overcomes. And I just can't overemphasize this overcoming. I can't tell you how important it is that you get past the hurdle. You have to get past the hurdle. It might surprise some of you to know that I was a kind of a track star in high school. Anyone surprised by that? I was a kind of a track star in high school. It was, I guess they were hard up for talent. I actually brought a picture of me running track and hurdles. No, that's not me. I got that off the internet. I was like, I bet I can convince them that's me. And then as soon as I got up here, I was like, I just folded right away. But I did actually get that off. I don't have any pictures of me. I was terrible. I never won a single race. I ran hurdles. The only thing I remember about it was I had long legs and I could run okay from basketball and stuff. And so they told me, well, you should try this. So I tried it. But I was so focused on getting over the hurdles, and I had long legs and I could jump. So I'd jump over these hurdles and jump. I was like, look, I just ran the whole thing. I didn't knock down a single hurdle. And I can remember my coach saying to me, but you were like in sixth place. I said, yeah, but I got over all the hurdles. I didn't knock down one. He knocked down four. He said, no, come here. It's the fastest to the finish line. It doesn't matter if you knock down the hurdles. I was like, oh, wow, it's a completely different way of thinking about it. Right? Knock down the hurdle if you have to. Keep going. Stop trying to avoid the pain of tripping and falling. Stop trying to get around the obstacle that's hard. Knock it down if you have to. But keep going forward in faith. Last time, faith acts, we're going to the Lord. And it asks, we're kneeling before the Lord. Okay? And it overcomes or endures. That's the prayer that gets answered.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving God and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. If you're not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church, check out this new alternative. It's called the Home Church Network. You can get it at homechurchnetwork.global. All the ministry information, Bible teaching, and resources are there, and also at jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.